You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to The Threshing Floor. I'm Pastor Jeb Dotson. I'm in the studio here in Crockett with Pastor Tim Lowry, and we are just so glad that you've taken some time out of your day just to spend with us here on The Threshing Floor. I don't know if you went outside last night, but my son, I heard him go out the back door, Tim, and he went out there and he started hollering, and then it kind of freaked the dog out. The dog's barking. I'm thinking, what's going on?
Did somebody in the backyard
fall into a ditch? What's going, you know, because I'm already in bed, and he's kind of a night owl anyway. And he'll stay up a little later. And he's a senior, so, you know, we kind of let him make his own hours now. I mean, he's almost out of school. So he's there in the backyard, and he's hollering something. The dog's freaking out. And I go out there, and he's saying, oh, my goodness, look at the size of that moon. And basically, if you haven't seen it, it is pretty impressive. It's called a super moon.
Right.
And they say on the East Coast, it's really impressive. It's like it's this ball of orange fire, you see. But you know, it's so big, and I guess it has to do, and I'm not a scientist in this area, but how close you are in the time of year and the moon as it makes its cycle, it is in a certain phase right now where you can really see the moon up close. Kind of scary close. It's cool.
Wow. I mean, last night, I remember around 2 a.m, I just look out and there's a glow coming from our windows.
Right. And are there headlights on?
Yeah. I thought somebody was coming down the road or something. And I look out there and you can see like it's daytime.
Yeah.
It was so clear and so bright, and yet it was in the middle of the night. And I just thought, wow, this moon has got to be, you know, huge. So how long is this going
to
be?
Yeah, and I don't know. I need to look into it more. They were talking about it last night on the news. I didn't think anything of it until my son was hollering outside. I went outside, and you're right. It was so bright that you could see the clouds in the sky, only it's at night. And so it's like, it is very unique. So everyone who's listening, if you have a chance, you know, it's like one of those things where you don't get to see it that often. I think anytime we have a chance to see God's creation, and in all the ways that, see, God put all these things in the motion. He created the moon and the stars and everything just to guide us and to help us along. You know, even the early sailors, they got around by looking at the stars, and that's how they got from point A to point B. And just realizing that everything that God made, he made for us. Because, you know, it was by his pleasure, by his joy. And when we were told to be fruitful and multiply, there's some other instruction there. And, you know, this isn't what we're talking about, maybe another time, but he says to have dominion over the earth.
Right.
And so I say that, you know, sometimes I kind of laugh when people panic about, we're running out of resources. We need to stop using up the earth. Mother Earth is dying.
Right.
And so I kind of have a different look at it. When God said, take dominion over the earth, Tim, to me, he knows how much fossil fuels we need. He knows how much wood and other resources, the fish in the sea and all of this, they all have a timetable on it. And I think it's for a specific period of time. So when we see these things running out, just know that God will return soon. He's not going to leave us as orphans out here in a desert wasteland.
That's good.
And so enjoy it while it's here, people.
Yes.
Enjoy the awesome moon tonight. Get out while the weather is awesome and everything in this springtime. Enjoy it now because summer is coming.
Yeah, I got just a little brief bit of that today. I stepped out and it's really overcast here at the studio, and I just felt that mugginess.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a precursor of what's going to happen this summer without, you know, add the sun. Oh, it's going to start baking.
The high humidity where you step outside and you start sweating instantly.
Yeah.
That's Texas. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I'm excited that we get to talk about this supermoon because it really ties into what we're going to be talking about today about Jesus being the light. And I think later on, there's really good analogies I think we can make about it. But one of the things that jumps out at me is that the moon has no way of producing its own light.
Yeah.
It's a reflection
of the sun.
Of the sun.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that last night, seeing how bright that reflection was in the darkness, in the middle of the darkness, it just jumped out at me and saying, that's what we're supposed to be as Christians in this world. Are we really bright, or are we like one of those little crescent moons that you can barely see?
You can barely see it. A little cloud comes and it covers it up. It's gone.
Right. No, I want to be the super moon of Christians. I want to say, you know, in this darkness, Lord, radiate your life, radiate your light through me so that I can draw others to you.
Man, that's good. Well, before we get into it, I don't know if Tim's going to enjoy me saying this or not, but we are talking about some of the other stuff that he does, and you may not be aware of this, but Tim Lowry is on a very short list of fixers when it comes to film. I'm talking about people in Hollywood. They have his name and number, and they will call him up and say, we have a problem with this film. Help us out. And he's working on a project now, and Tim, you were talking about it. I want you to tell us a little bit about it because this is not the first time you've been asked to step in and help in the process. Right. What is it that you're working on right now?
Well, I'm working on a film that's called Don't Say My Name. And it is a Christian film about human trafficking. So it's a very, very serious film, very heavy. But it's when they got done filming it and they got through the script and they got through everything, it just felt like they didn't have a film. And that happens several times. You know, a lot of people will have that. And some of the bigger films, they'll actually go out and reshoot entire endings because it just didn't work when they shot it the first time. And they'll put it what's called a test audience and they'll do that. But I've been involved in some of those fixes. But
like Selfie Dad, right? You did a little work on that one.
I did that. I did a little work on that. I also did one that was called Saving Flora, which was a kid's film about an elephant. And, you know, one of the things I used to do a lot of that stuff in Hollywood, but I really wanted to do things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so that's what I get to do. And this film, you know, when I get, because I'm on that short list and I'm on the top, I get to choose what I want to do. And so I just say, Lord, how can I bring you into this project? How can I make sure that your light shines? And so that's what I focus before I even take the job. And when I watched this film, I could see it in there. It was just buried and it was covered and it just needed to be revealed. And so, so that's what I'm working on now. It's a tight deadline. Usually they've run out of money and they've run out of time.
Save us. They're saying,
and they say, can you do this in 10 days? You know? And so I say, well, you know, give me a little bit more time than that. But, you know, basically I think I have until the 6th of May to have a complete fix for them. And so half of the battle is really just, you know, prayer. You know, a lot of it's just prayer saying, Lord, where do you want to be in this film? How do you want your message? Because it's such a heavy topic.
Yeah. And no, it really is. And it is an unknown topic to so many people that sex trafficking is a real deal. And it goes on right underneath our noses, right here in our state, in Houston County, even where this station is located at. Even now, there's some poor girl probably locked up in a closet And that's the fact of the matter. And we do need to create more awareness about this.
Well, and I think that's something that this film is going to do. And the filmmakers, they have a heart for God, and yeah. they have a heart for this problem. And they really wanted to try to see how they could expose it, but not just expose it, but expose it in a way that could glorify God. And it's a story of a girl that, you know, gets through this and ends up finding Christ. And so I don't want to spoil too much of it, but
well, guys, look for it when it's released, and when you see it, the name of it again is,
it's called Don't Say My Name.
Don't Say My Name. And we're really looking forward to that. But you know, it kind of just gives me a thought for something else, and it's better to ask forgiveness instead of permission. But you know, Tim, you have left a lot behind from Hollywood and a lot of things you've worked on. And I know this is, you know, we're kind of getting off the beaten path, but what I'm asking for is prayer for the ministry, because guys, as you're listening, you just need to know that this radio station is not a big money making thing for the Lowry family. This is a mission for them. And so think about where he could be, making, you know, more money than here. And so I just want you to understand that this is a ministry to the community, a ministry to the area. And there are some things that need to be prayed about. There's some issues with the radio station. I'm not going to get into it, but there's some things that need to happen, and finances need to happen. And so I'm not asking anything but prayer. Prayer is the most coveted yes. thing that we could have for this radio station, even this show, because this is a spiritual battleground that we're in. Seems like every time you get ahead, you get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Well, am I telling a story or what? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been struck. I don't know. I've lost count, but last year it was over 14 times.
My.
And
that's crazy.
The year before that, it was a little bit more than that. And the first year that I think the first year was the most. It was about 20 or 30 times. And that was a fight to even get on the air. It was like, you know, Satan didn't want this to happen. There was like, you can play rock and roll, classic rock all day long, but as soon as you change the format to do something that glorifies God, there was this immediate resistance.
And then also people who tried to partner with you, they also experienced strange things. I myself, because when Tim first moved to this area, I reached out and we started doing some things, and there was some even resistance in my own ministry. It's like Satan saying, you don't need to be with this partnership. This does not need to work. We're going to stop this right now. So you got to recognize, and I try not to point everything at the devil and give him in any kind of credit, but sometimes it's obvious when there's that much resistance. It's like you just got to keep pushing through.
Well, and I used to get frustrated when I listened to Christian radio because they always seemed like they were crying poor. And it's yet, you know, they're always like, please give us money, donate money, donate money. And pray for us too, you know, because we really need that. And I used to get frustrated at that. But owning a radio station, a Christian radio station, I covet those prayers. I long for those prayers because I need those support partners to battle the spiritual battles that are going on. God always takes care of the finances, you know, whether it's through the community or it's through something that he allows me to do to provide for the income for the station, whatever it is, he always does that. But the prayer is valuable, and it's something that we, as a community, I love to hear, and we're getting letters from prisons that are they're praying for us, and you know, it just ignites my heart because I just know that here are these guys. When I'm feeling down, I get a letter from a prisoner who's encouraging me,
and it's like opening up. You know, we're talking about today about the light. It is opening up the light. I know what you're talking about. I've received a few letters, and I'm not going to name names because they're probably listening now. Said, "Don't say my name." So don't worry, guys. I'm not going to say your names, but some of these letters, I mean, they touched my heart. They ministered to me. So guys, those of you who have written the letters, just thank you. And while I'm talking about it, let me go ahead and give you that number to text and that address to send in your letters. If you have any questions or comments or you need to connect with us, text this number 936-337-1413. Or you can write us a letter to The Threshing Floor. That is P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It just when you start thinking, are we reaching anybody? Is anybody listening? Play the crickets. No, there we go.
That'll work.
It's like, that's the one. Is there anybody out there? Hello. And then you get this letter. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know what? We are making a difference, you know?
Not only are they listening,
yeah,
but they're actually being blessed by it.
Yeah.
And in return, that blessing that they share and they take that moment to testify blesses us in ways that they'll never know. And we're so grateful.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base price. And you have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. That covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Feel the joy. 104.3 Joy FM.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, we are back and we are having such a great time here in the studio at 104.3 Joy FM. It's just myself, Pastor Jeb Dotson, and Pastor Tim Lowry, and we are just hanging out, chatting, talking about stuff. Today, we are continuing the series we started, is we are going through the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. These are seven statements that Jesus said about himself. And we're calling this the Great I Am series because all of these statements, they start just like that. Jesus says, I am, I am. Last week, we talked about the first one where he said, I am the bread of life. We talk about bread so much, I got hungry. I mean, it's like all the attributes of bread and how Jesus is like bread. And by the time I was through, Tim, I was like, I need like a French loaf or something, you know, but it's all these things that Jesus said about himself. It gives us some great clues because it wasn't just about what Jesus taught. And it was also, it's what he was alluding to of there was this new thing, this new covenant that's coming in. And so he used all these statements to introduce it, but then he backed it up. And we'll probably, after this series, we'll go there next, is not only did he say things, but he also backed it up with what he did. I'm talking about the miracles, signs, and wonders. And so with Jesus, you get a complete package. And that is the most important thing that I want all of our listeners to understand, that when you look at the life of Christ, you need to look at everything about Jesus, his teachings, what he said about himself, what he claimed, and even from prophecy, what's going to be happening in the future, and then everything that he did to back up what he said. It's one thing for me to say that, man, I am a race car driver. I can outdrive anybody. It's like, nah, in my dreams.
Right, you know?
In actuality, I'm probably a wreck waiting to happen, you know, and I'm actually just the opposite. I try to obey all the speed laws because I hate getting a ticket. Nothing. I mean, I'll have a bad day that lasts days.
Oh yeah,
you know, I get a ticket.
Well, especially because we end up knowing all of the officers.
Yes,
so it's really embarrassing.
Yes,
if you end up, it's like, hey, how you doing? Okay, thank you.
And listen, I'm a pastor of a church here, and I've been pulled over right in front of the church.
Ooh,
this is when I first moved here. And he's like, hey, what's going on? You know how fast you're going? I was like, no, not really. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I pastor this church across the street. He said, this one right here, huh? He's like, huh? Okay. So you're the new pastor, huh? Nice to meet you. This is a strange, you know. Yeah. And he just started just giving me a hard time on purpose.
Right.
We're going to let you go this one time, but I see you, you know, they give me the whole bit.
I'm the new sheriff in town. You're the new pastor.
Yeah, they give me the whole bit. You know how it is. It's like, that gets on my nerves. But Jesus wants us to be the light. And that is the second statement that he made here. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me. We were here at the church Sunday, and this whole side of the loop was black. It was out. And that wouldn't be a problem, but we were towards the very end of a huge kids' day. I'm talking about, we have blow-ups in the gym.
Right, right.
Kids on blow-ups, yes, in blow-ups.
Exactly.
And
they're getting vinyl wrapped.
The power goes out and we are in darkness. People, don't you know that that was just an insurance nightmare waiting to, I mean,
you're like, we got to pull kids out from the inside of these bounces. Hopefully they didn't get wrapped.
And I'm thinking, like, how are we going to, you know, in my mind is racing, you know, okay, how many kids were there? I don't know. Where are the parents? I don't know. You know, let's open up some doors. Let some light in here. Let's get everybody outside. And it's like that panic of darkness. And when I read this, this says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. That was a moment, honestly, I don't want to relive. I mean, it's nothing bad happened. No kid got lost in the blowups as they started quickly deflating. And the light was out for a while. But with Christ, that's a picture of our lives, spiritually speaking. There's a certain panic when things go wrong without Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. It's doctor sees a spot he doesn't like. He wants to get a test. Man, that's panic. That's like, oh no. You start thinking about the C word. Is it cancer? I don't know. I'm so nervous. And that is an honest reaction that has merit, but having Jesus makes that or anything else you may go through, it's like you're grounded and there's light in the middle of darkness. Oh, yeah.
Well, what I love is this morning I was reading the Genesis, first book of Genesis, and it's talking about when God created light. And it brings a whole new meaning to him quoting this as he is the light. It's just so many multi-level things. It makes my brain kind of explode on the fact that, you know, this is God, this is who he is, and this light is, we need it. Without it, we're, like you said, you get in that panic mode, and it's scary. You don't want to ever have to go through that.
And we talked about last week what was important about the I am statements, and I need to go there for a second, that in the word, I'm talking the Old Testament, those words, I am, belong to God only. When Moses was on the mountain with the burning bush, God said, you're going to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to tell them? Who are you? Just tell them I am.
Yeah. And he's, tell them I am sent you.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay. And Jesus says the same thing. In fact, in John chapter 8, later on in the same chapter, verse 56, all of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they're claiming, you know, how close they are to Abraham. We belong to Abraham. And he said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And they said, man, you're only yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham. This is what he said. He said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. And then they got really mad.
It's because, like, ooh, blasphemy.
Exactly. They knew what he was talking about. So when Jesus was making these statements, he was actually giving attributes to God and himself, because Jesus was fully God and fully man. And so, you know, he was hungry and thirsty and tired. And, you know, going back to The Chosen, episode 3, hopefully you've seen it. There's this point where Jesus is very tired.
Yeah.
And they do an excellent job, Tim, of just showing how a busy day of ministry wore him, and his feet hurt. He's dragging. He's exhausted. I believe that was true. Yeah. I mean, yeah. that was a great picture of Jesus being fully man, and he did get tired and he did get hungry. But on the other hand, he was also the Son of God. So the Spirit sustained him and he fed off spiritual food. And so God is light. Therefore, Jesus is the light. Mm. Let me go back. This isn't anywhere in my notes, but I love this point in scripture, and it's the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God, he created the heavens and the earth. And as he was over the water, and God said, let there be light. Something really cool about that is the word used for God is Elohim. Okay, Elohim in the original Hebrew is God, but what's really cool about it, it's God in plural form.
Right.
Okay, if it was God in singular form, you know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, Eloi, Eloi, that is my God, that was God in singular form. So in the very first book, very first verse of the Bible where it says, in the beginning, God, basically the right translation is, in the beginning, God in his three persons. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were all there, and he spoke, let there be light.
Yeah.
And so God is a tribute, and the very first action upon the earth was light. So now here Jesus is saying he is the light. So, you know, the background to that is Jesus, he arrives and he begins to teach at this feast about who he was. And this debate was already raging over whether he was the Christ. And many refused to believe in him based upon where he came from. He's from Galilee. Come on, man. The Christ has got to come from Galilee and Nazareth. And so the people were really divided. Some wanted to seize him at this point and try to arrest him, but no one was going to lay a hand on him because it wasn't his time. The temple guards returned to the chief priest who sent them to go arrest him, but they couldn't, they wouldn't, and they were angry that they had not brought Jesus. And they said, why didn't you bring him? He said, no one taught like this man. And they're like really ticked off at that point. It's like, right. Even our guards are believing in him. Right, man, right. We're in big trouble here. Yes. And so,
you got to remember, back then, there were many people that came and claimed that they were the Christ.
Yeah.
In fact, Barabbas, who was, you know, when Jesus was killed, when Barabbas was in prison, he was actually called the Christ. And he had formed this militia to kind of take over the Roman Empire. So yeah. There was a lot of these people claiming to be it. But when Christ stepped in and when he spoke with power and authority of his Father that no one had ever heard before. It was like a radiation of light just emanating from every word that he was saying.
Right. And he could say the exact same words as maybe we're speaking now, but it's something about it just got into the very core of people, and it changed their lives. And in this moment, as they are arguing about it, who else would stand up to defend him but another one of the Sanhedrin? Nicodemus stood up. And see, why would he defend Jesus even after Jesus says, I am the light? It's because Nicodemus had already gone to speak to him earlier in John chapter 3. He went to Jesus during the night, and you need to read that if you haven't read John chapter 3 in a while. And he goes to speak to Jesus privately. We just pick out that one verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And I think we can all quote that. But if you read the whole story, this is a man who's hungry for the truth. And what you're talking about, he heard Jesus speaking and he knew, wait a minute, something's different. This isn't Barabbas. This isn't some of these other guys.
Right.
This is different. So Jesus began to teach Nicodemus at night and expose the truth to the light there. And this is what goes on in that conversation I want you to see. This is, let me read verse 19 through 21. Mm. This is after this John 3:16, he said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. He begins to speak. Basically, there is a dividing line of those who are willing to step into the light and those who refuse. And what's important about that, Jesus is actually, he's referring to Nicodemus himself, because by Nicodemus going to him, seeking him out, he is actually becoming a secret believer and he's putting his life in danger. And so Nicodemus is a sidestep into light, and he's referring to all the others, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law. They will stay in the darkness.
Right. And remember here, Nicodemus was a very influential guy. So they had a lot of these holy people looking up to him. And he was very well respected in the Sanhedrin. And so that was a big shift for him to suddenly start seeing that light and believing in Christ. And that was going to have big waves in the future.
And I see the same struggle going on in people today that I talk to. There are people who want to believe in Jesus, but they're scared that everything they've been into will be exposed. There's this guilty feeling. I've done too much in my life. God doesn't want me. And it's the enemy starts to lie. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. We're going to take another break, and we will return in just a moment.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base price. And you have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. And that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, welcome back. We are going through the seven I am statements of Jesus, and we are at the second one in John, and where Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And in that, we talked about where Nicodemus, he goes to start to defend Jesus, and the fact that Nicodemus saw that light and he was willing to risk his own life for it. Here's a few other scriptures I'd like to read. John 1:4-5 said, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." There's something about a revelation that comes to each one of us, and you might be listening now, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about. There was a moment in time where you knew about Jesus but didn't understand, but then all of a sudden everything clicked, and you knew that this Jesus really did die on the cross to save us from our sins. And this is like the revelation of light in the darkness. And it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. To people who are, they don't care or they don't want to know, Jesus had to deal with these people every day. That's why he talked in parables.
Right.
And they'd even ask him, "Jesus, why are you talking to everybody in parables? Why don't you tell them plainly?" And he says, because those who would receive it will receive it, because I can't quote exactly how he put it, but basically they are ready for the light, and now they will, because of these parables, they're going to understand it.
Right.
And so parables were designed to confuse those who were going to be confused, but for those, they would lay in their bed at night and they would ponder his words. The Holy Spirit would begin to minister to them, and there's the light bulb would come on.
Right.
They probably sit up in their bed and said, "Oh my, I was just in the presence of God himself."
Well, it also allowed him to speak out in public more without being threatened to be killed. You know, he could say these things and then they would go away, and then it would be like, bing. And then the Pharisees like, "Wait a minute, it was talking about me." You know, but if you would have just blatantly said, you know, "The Pharisees are doing this, this, and this," he would have been hauled off and, you know, already put into prison. And it's just amazing that design of communication, that there was light in it and it would be revealed when it needed to be.
And there are certain people around who didn't want the light. They didn't want to have any part of it. They wanted to get rid of it because they liked their lives and they didn't want it to disrupt their lives. You know, I want to talk to everyone who may be forced to listen to this show. It's like, you don't want to listen to this show, but it's on. Maybe you're at work right now. It is like, I wish these people would just be quiet. I wish the manager of the store would shut this off. Hey, I'm talking to you. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay to be irritated by stuff that, you know, you don't understand. Or maybe you're incarcerated and maybe they're playing this station and you're like, oh, these people. Here's the deal. John 12:35-36 says this. It says, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." The Holy Spirit is knocking at your door, wanting you to hear the message, wanting you to understand and receive the light. And the Bible says we're only going to have the light for just a little bit of time, and then darkness is coming. So I would invite you, if you are forced to listen to this show and it's become just one of those irritations, like a thorn in your side, just take some time on your own, please, and just figure out who this Jesus is, because we're going to talk about him, because we're in love with Jesus, and because of he saved us. He has turned our lives around. And so, you know, we get pumped. We get excited about these things and we want to share that. So I would really invite you just to do a little research and figure out why it is that we're so excited. Like we're talking about Bitcoin going to $50,000or something. It's like, oh, it's cool, you know, but
that's nothing compared to the amazing.
Nothing love compared. That Christ has. It's like the greatest news you could get is we get to talk about every week that Jesus is the light. And man, I'm going to tell you, Tim, he changed my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I come from a family that they were not great people, a lot of drinkers, alcoholics, family reunions would end up in brawls. I'm just saying, it's like, just, we weren't allowed to come inside. We had to stay outside because, you know, and, you know, play in the dark, get back out there. It's not time for bed. You know, it's like, it just, I didn't understand. It's like that we were dysfunctional, but when you're in dysfunction, you don't know
it. Sometimes you don't know it.
It's like when you're in, and there's all kind of weird stuff going on, you know, and I don't need to go into details, but it's like, you may have been in that family in your own way. You know, we all have issues, but it's, you don't know it when you're in the darkness.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it when I was a kid. I thought it was normal.
What was that moment that changed your life for God?
I was about to get married and, living in under the roof of an alcoholic was really weird, but we kind of grew to terms with it. Even, you know, I was allowed to drink at a very young age. Mm. That was how we bonded. And so I realized that this cycle of dysfunction, there has to be something to stop it. And I realized that I wanted to be a different husband. I wanted to be a different father. And I've been to church most of my life, and I realized I have no idea how to be a true man, you know, and it's like, I've always admired Jesus because I love the stories and all this. I said, that's who I really want to be like. And so right then and there, I asked God to be my dad. It's like, listen, I need a father to really show me how to be the right husband, to be the right father. Otherwise, I knew I was going to recreate my past into my family.
Yeah, it seems like
I knew it. I felt it. And I knew God was showing me all these things of the future. So I gave it over totally and completely to him. And it was not pretty to begin with. Change is always ugly. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, your future wife, was she a Christian at the time?
I'm married to her now. And we both came to Christ at the same time. We were actually baptized on the same day. I was 18, she was 17, and we were dating. We grew in Christ together. And so there were a lot of things going on that needed to change because we both got convicted of some things. And so it's serving God is a process, and God will take you right where you are, and it's amazing. And when you begin to follow him, he'll give you the next set of instructions.
Yes.
He said, okay, you got this now. How about trying this?
Yeah.
Let's work on this little issue you have. And then you're like, really? Okay. You work on that. And then a couple months later, there's another issue. Here I am almost 50 years old, and there's still little things God's dropping in my heart saying, you need to deal with this issue right here.
Right.
I was like, wow, I'm still working on stuff.
Still working.
You know?
But I love the point that you made was you and your wife, at that young age, you guys said, you know what, we're going to follow Christ. And it didn't matter what your past was. It was that decision that you made at that moment that changed your life.
Yeah.
You would never have expected that you would be a pastor.
Yeah, no. I used to make fun of pastors. It's like, I would never want to be a pastor. But then when I said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. And then we ended up in a ministry, a 1,000-acre ranch for kids. And it went from there, went to Bible school, and God began to open doors. And I told God, hey, whatever door you open, I'm just going to walk through it, and I'm going to trust you. And I had something about just giving your life over to the Lord and saying, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I was serious about it. God will move. And that's when he began to really do things. And you've experienced that yourself in your life. And it's allowing the light to have complete access. And that takes time, guys. I'm telling you, I was not a saint, and I got some stories that have made people think, why aren't you locked up? You know, it's like,
right. It's,
you know, I've done some stuff. Okay. I've been some places, but, by the grace of God and allowing his light to completely flood me and change me, it has given me a new walk. And all those generational curses that I recognize now that I could have taken up, there are other family members that have not changed, and I see their lives now.
Oh yeah.
Just went to a funeral for a cousin who died by a gunshot, broke into somebody's house, and he was met with a gun pointed at him, shot him twice in the chest, one through the heart, and it was out of violence. And so I look at issues like that with my family, and I say, you know, that could be my story, but God changed me.
Yeah. Well, and there's some people listening right now that maybe they just feel like, you know, I've got to do something better before I turn my life to Christ. Like, I'm just not there yet.
Yeah.
Like, I've done all these things, and I, you know, I just need to get right, and then I can present myself to God. And, you know, your story just shows that that's not the case. He will take you wherever you are. It's that moment that you make that decision to say, Lord, I need you. I'm making that change right now. No matter what my circumstances are, I'm making it right now because I want that light. I want you to come into my life. I don't want to have this darkness anymore. When you make that step, he will be right there in that moment to pull you out.
And that's just the great thing about it. It's a journey, and God has taken me so many places. I've gone to Africa, helped build some churches in Rwanda after the genocide. I have gone in missions in different places, and even then, I'm still amazed at some of the things that God would allow me to be a part of. Just this last Sunday, there's some altar time, and this gentleman that I brought up to help me pray, he's praying for someone, and he's had a lot of issues with his elbow. I mean, is locked up, a lot of pain, and
couldn't even twist the top of a water cap off.
He couldn't even take the water cap off, and he was crying at the altar, and he wanted to talk to me. He said, I just want to let you know that God just completely healed my arm while I'm sitting there helping you pray. And I mean, there's moments like that. I'm like, get out of here. What just happened? Are you serious?
It was an amazing thing.
Amazing.
Here he was praying for somebody else, praying for healing of somebody else. And before that, when I talked to him, he had said he was on his hands and knees before Sunday saying, Lord, use these hands to do miracles.
Wow.
Use these hands to do miracles. And the thing is, he wasn't praying for himself.
Yeah.
He was praying for somebody else. And God said, if you're going to use these hands, they got to be right.
Yeah.
And he instantly healed him. And I mean, you saw the tears coming down his face.
It was a moment. And, you know, God is in the healing business today. He is the light today. And what's so cool about that is just being able to be part of that moment. And I like to try to backtrack and figure it out. Now, God, did you tell me to ask him to come up? Because I know it had to be part of the plan. So God orchestrated all this, and I was just doing what I normally do. And I looked at him and his wife, and I just felt like they needed to come pray. And it's like, and God used that in that moment at the end of the day, totally healed. I am still blown away by what God does.
Well, and that was one thing that you were prepared for it, because remember, you didn't get up and preach.
The
Holy Spirit started moving, and worship just continued. People started flooding the altar.
One of those great Sundays that you just love. It's like, man, if you don't get to preach and God takes over, what better service could there be?
Yeah, but you allowed the Holy Spirit to move. There's some people that won't do that. And out of that movement, we got to witness, the whole congregation got to witness this miracle happen in front of their eyes, that nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can say, oh, that didn't happen. Oh, that's a fairy tale. We know him personally.
Yeah.
We saw what was happening beforehand. And I mean, he took the brace that was on his arm. He was like, he threw that away.
He was like raising his arm up and down. And you really can't see this because you're listening to it. But, you know, just having your arm up in the air and pivoting it back and forth on the elbow and hit in front of everybody, knowing that he couldn't do that before. You cannot tell that man that he wasn't healed, because he's a walking, talking miracle even today. And it sets a fire within our bellies that, you know, Jesus is still alive and active. And when we allow him to take over in our midst, amazing things can happen. That's just an awesome story of God's goodness. We're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base price. And you have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty. And that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, it's been a great day here in the Threshing Floor, and I'm going to tell you, it's always awesome just to talk about all the great things that God has done. And we were just talking about this amazing story where this man that we know, he was helping to pray at the altars, and his arm was completely healed. And it just goes to show that Jesus is still in the miracle business today. All those healings and everything he did while he walked this earth, we can still access the light.
Yeah.
Because he is still the light. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Light is a symbol of hope. And when you have Jesus on your side, in your corner, no matter what you're going through, there's always his presence, because nothing, no amount of darkness can ever make his presence go away. So there's always going to be hope, and it's something that can never be taken away from you. You guys who are incarcerated, you may have been put into solitary confinement, and I've been told that that's just terrible. You know, it's one of the worst places to be, and it's just maddening. You know, you're not alone when you're in there, because Jesus is in there with you. They can turn out the lights. They can make just everything just creepy quiet, but Jesus is still there. He's still the light. You could be in the worst dungeon prison. You can be in up on a mountain hiding in a cave because the storm's coming and you're all alone, or shipwrecked and floating out on the ocean waiting to get saved. No matter where it is, Jesus is always there. And I'm going to tell you, just going back to my story, when I made the decision, the real decision to follow Christ, it changed everything. Because before that, you know, I was made to go to church, you understand? And it
was,
I didn't have a decision. And here I was.
You're going whether you like it or not.
And yeah, I was 19 years old when I prayed that prayer, and I actually had a choice at this point. And I decided that this is something that I know, if I was going to be the man I wanted to be, that I really wanted to. You know, I did have some goals, and I did have some, you know, I wanted to be something. I knew I couldn't do it without Jesus. And when I totally turned my life around, it was a week later, I was baptized. I'm going to tell you, that put me on a path that I am still amazed at, just looking back at everything that God has done. So that might be your story today, listeners, that you're just not sure, just not totally committed. And I understand that, because I spent years on the fence. It was the craziest thought in my head, and it made sense to me at the time. It's like, well, I'm going to be able to tell the times that Jesus is going to come, and I'm going to get right with him right before he gets back.
Wow.
I'm serious. I know.
I think we've all thought that.
It's insane to even say it, and I'm like,
I'll go there. I've thought that.
It's just the strangest thought, and that's how I really thought. And I know there's people out there who are thinking that. So, you know what? I got time. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And right before Jesus gets back, I'm going to change and I'm going to do right. And here's the thing. You will never be ready and you will never be able to time him.
Right.
It's like timing the market and the stock market. Yeah. You can't do it. Don't try. Yeah. You cannot time when Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And when he comes, like the Bible says, there will be two in the field, and then one will be there and one will be gone. Two grinding the grain, getting it ready for the threshing floor. It's interesting. You know, this, the name of our show, getting ready for that, and one will be gone. It's like we could have a guest here in this studio that's not a believer, and we would be gone, and they're sitting there looking at the microphone, and what just happened?
And you know what? This is such a serious thing that back in the 50s, airlines would actually make sure that there was a believer and a non-believer flying the plane.
Absolutely.
How amazing is that? You've got airliners that they don't believe in God, they don't believe, but just in case God shows up, can you imagine being an unbeliever and going, I'm sorry, you're going to have to sit here because we know you don't believe in God, just in case something happens.
And we can't have two believers. I knew a church that had, and this is no joke, it was a glass box with a hammer. And it said, should the rapture take place, break the glass. And behind it was a Bible and an actual letter of instruction from the pastor explaining everything that has happened and everything that will happen from here, according to Revelation. They thought it was so imminent that they wanted an emergency box placed there that if an unbeliever was there, they'd have some instructions. Don't let that be you. Join the crew. Receive Jesus today. Receive the light. We love you. We want to hear from you. We'll talk to you next week. Be blessed.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.